Certainly a privilege to be here tonight, and it's been a blessing to me and my privilege, amen, in being here this week. I hope that if you got a little bit of blessing compared to what God's blessed me with, I'm sure you've got something out of it, amen. And it has been a blessing to me each night. God has helped me and strengthened me, and I praise the Lord for it. These are precious times. We fellowship, we enjoy the blessings of God together, and we've even taken over the bedroom of the pastor and his wife, and they'd had to move out. And I think that there's something wrong because the dog keeps howling each night. He's upset he don't get to come in. He must have used to sleep in the same bedroom we're in, amen. Because he keeps trying to get under the door, and last night the pastor had to run him out 4 or 5 times. And so I said, well, we'll be leaving tomorrow and he can get back in, amen. God's good, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, what a Savior, amen. God is good, amen. I want us to turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 7. I really believe without any question that these two chapters, chapter 2 and chapter 3, outline for us a pattern that the church, the direction the church went and is going, can be seen in. And I believe where we're going to be at tonight will certainly be obvious that the Philadelphia church was the key player in the role that we're going to read about in these verses. And also the things we're going to find in history. Verse number 7 says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy." I want to stop there just for a minute. And I know there's men would say you're silly, but I don't think it's an accident that it says Philadelphia. You may scratch your head there for a minute, but you'll figure it out after a while. The Liberty Bell rang, amen, and Liberty came, praise God, and we enjoy it today. And it says, the angel of the church in Philadelphia, and again, let me say, I do know that these are 7 existing churches there in Asia at this time, and I'm not missing that mark, but I want you to know that I believe these are also prophetic messages looking at the age that we live in today and others, amen, have lived in. There was out of doubt in my mind, we do not live in that age of martyrdom today. But there was an age that age was real. Amen. We are in a day today that's much different than was even a few hundred years ago. If we roll the calendar back 250 years, it is so much different 250 years ago. So we must recognize certainly there has been great changes taking place. And so it's again unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. I want you to know that until 1776, there was and never had been an open door. But in 1776, a door opened, amen. And he says, he set before them an open door, no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. I believe there's a special place in the heart of God for those who gave it all to stand for the Lord Jesus, amen. And those who carried the bloodstained banner without reserve and never stopped until they accomplished that which God had set for them to do. He says, "Behold, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I want to say there's a lot of opinions about that verse, but I'll give you what I believe it says. I believe it says exactly what it says, that there will be a time when temptation shall come upon the whole world like we have never seen before that time, and I believe we're living in that time. I believe the world is bombarded by sin from every avenue and every corner in ways that our forefathers have never even imagined it could come. The immorality, the indecency, the ungodliness, the lasciviousness is in every place in this land, but not only here, in the world around. Drugs, alcohol, and pernicious lifestyles have taken over the entire world. And the Lord said this church, the Philadelphian church, would be spared from that day. Can you imagine if you just roll back the years, a few years, you could look at a generation who never saw pornography, who never heard cursing on the airwaves, who never saw the indecency in the billboards, who never was introduced to ungodliness through the educational system of their day, never heard a school teacher ever say a slant word toward the truth of the Word of God, never heard someone stand up in politics and acknowledge false cults and religions around the world. They never heard and never saw the things that we have saw in the last few years. Amen. Thank God they didn't. I magnify the Lord that they didn't. Amen. He says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast that thou hast, that no man take thy crown. There is a danger, always has been, always will be, but it's pointed out here that we hold fast what God has given us and the place and position in life that God placed us in. We remember in the Word of God, Esther was told by Mordecai, is it not right that God placed her there for such a time as this? Do we not understand that each of us has been placed in this world in the time slot God chose, not we chose, but God chose, and you and I have a job to do. You and I have a purpose. You and I have a pathway that God has preordained we can follow and go in, and God help us to fulfill our position and our post in this mighty army of God in the day that we live. Amen. And I bless the Lord, we do have a place, and I praise God for it. The Lord gives us a job to do. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I want to say tonight that I appreciate God allowing us to have the history of our forefathers. I appreciate the testimony they left for us, the example that they established that we can look back upon and say, by the grace of God, I will go on for Jesus. Amen. I will stand for him. I will carry the banner for him. I will do his will in my lifetime. God honored the blood-washed band of believers. They stood before all the things they did, and they listened to the message of God. And there are several things about that time when the Lord opened the door of the world to them, and God opened the door to this country to them. They had made a great mark upon the world, but, and did continue to do so. But I believe they left a testimony that agrees with the Word of God. I believe, first of all, they kept their first love. I believe they heard the message to the church of Ephesus. And they also were willing to be faithful even unto death, as God had written to the church of Smyrna. They also separated themselves from the hated, wicked doctrine of Balaamism and the walk and lifestyle of Jezebel that had so much affected many of the churches in that day. They also rejected the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which had laid itself down within the Catholicism of the world and others who branched out from them. But may I say to you, they also kept their robes white and they stayed faithful to God. They did not become tainted by the things of their society, their world, the influences around them. And thanks be unto God, hallelujah, God opened for them a door, amen, that no man could shut. And God opened a door that the world had never saw open before. For 1776 years, there was no door open to the world. There was no door open in Europe. There was no door open in Rome. There was no door open. But thanks be unto God, in 1776, God opened the door. Amen. It opened wide, and it opened all the way. And God said, I've gave you an open door. He said, you've been faithful. You've paid the price. You've went all the way, and I've opened for you a door. Hallelujah. And God opened the door. Amen. Praise be unto God. I'm saying to you, a door open. It opened wide. It opened all the way. And God did a work that no man had ever noticed, had ever seen. Never before had such a door be opened. Amen. Oh, great God Almighty. God did some things that nobody on earth had ever saw before. God established a great nation in America, 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 become an open door, and God from that place opened the whole world. Amen. Thanks be unto God. Hallelujah. Our forefathers paid a price, and God promised, and God promised, God promised if they would be faithful, if they would be faithful, if they would be faithful. God said, I'll open for you a door that no man can shut. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 praise his name. And God, from that door, he opened Europe up, amen. Thanks be unto God. He opened it up to the Christian. He opened Russia. He opened China. He opened India. He opened all the nations, amen. He opened Africa. He opened Australia. He opened South America. He opened the world up. And he said, I'll give you the whole world, amen. Hallelujah, never before, never before, never before, never before, never before. But now for the first time, the world is wide open to the preaching of the Word of God. Thanks be unto God. With that open door, our forefathers never slacked. They went through the door, praise God. They went through that door with an unquenchable hunger, with an unquenchable thirst, with an unquenchable outreach to go for God and miraculously reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God allowed numerous things to happen, praise God. He miraculously allowed the powers of religion around the world to be broken under the preaching of the Word of God. That band of born-again believers, thank God. God worked miracles through them. God worked great works through them. God did great things through them, amen. I'm saying to you, the miracles that we read about in just the last 200 plus few years, we see that's greater, amen, than anything we know of. It was greater than David killing the giant. It was greater than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire furnace. It was greater than a humble Daniel in the den of lions. Thanks be unto God. I'm saying to you, God opened an entire world, amen. Nations begin to bow to the preaching of the gospel. Thank God a Bible in English was translated without man's false doctrine, amen. Thank God statesmen got saved. Religious leaders got saved. Men and women experienced the birth into the family of God. Praise broke out around the world, amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, greater works than these that I have done will you do. I'm saying to you, no borders could hold them. Thank God, no borders could stop them. The boundaries of the ocean could not hold them back. No mountains, amen. No ranges of the world. No human languages. Nothing could stop them. You know why? God opened a door and said, no man can shut it, amen. And when God opened that door, it could not be shut, amen.
from a time of having no legal right of preaching the gospel. They went forth with fervor in this country alone in a short period of time. 94,508 local Baptist churches began, and in a short period of time, 27,527,471 men and women said, I'm a born again Baptist, amen. I'm saying to you, God, open the door. And the whole world was shook when that door swung open on the hinges and hit the stop. It shook the whole world, amen. Hallelujah, 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 amen. I'm saying to you, nothing had ever been seen, nothing had ever been imagined, nothing had ever been known like what God did and what he allowed his people to do, amen. Every continent, every nation, every place, God touched, amen. In this nation, can you imagine? This nation was shook from the end to the end, amen. And God began to shake the world. Every nation on earth, thank God, God shook them. And from this nation where he framed a great nation that loved him and was serving him, out of that, God sent thousands to serve him. Thank God for those who said, I'll go, amen. I may have to get it in a lower gear. I'm talking about, listen. The Lord said, God said, Jesus made it clear, if you'll be faithful, if you'll do what I say, if you'll just hang on, you're going to have to go give yourselves up in death. You're going to have to go through persecution. You're going to have to reject those who preach false doctrine. You're going to have to stand for what's right. You're going to have to keep your robe white. But he said, if you will, he said, I'll open a door that no man can shut him in. Thank God. Hallelujah, 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 amen. We can recess for an hour and shout and praise God. Amen. Numerous Baptist associations and groups formed as nucleuses were formed here and there of numbers of Baptist churches, amen, across this country. And God formed them and put them together, and out of them mission groups and great work was accomplished, and God sent out a mighty fortress, amen, of men and women to take the gospel to the entire world, amen. They went into China. They went into India. They went into Russia. They covered the places of Europe where false doctrine had held them in chains for so long. They marched up and down through the jungles, amen. They took the gospel across the ocean. They took the gospel across the mountains. They went into the Indians. They went everywhere. They took the gospel, and thousands and thousands and thousands were saved by the preaching of the Word of God. The American Baptists formed across this country. The Virginia Baptists and regular Baptists and other Baptists began to pull together. And great works were done, and colleges were built, and universities were established, and thousands of churches were put together and erected on the sides of the hills and the roads and the valleys of America. And this nation, amen, had the bright light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Numerous Baptist associations started down through those years, and I was going to give the list and all the times, but I don't think I'll take time to do that tonight. But the great God of heaven was doing a mighty work. They began to divide some of those works. In 1845, the Southern Baptists broke out in a debate about slavery, and there was other divisions took place. But shortly after World War II, and I'll jump a little far ahead, the large Baptist conventions had grown and began to engulf large areas of the country and mission works around the world. But it seems like that the devil had attacked them with liberal leaders and individuals who began to corrupt them, amen. First away from the path of holiness and righteousness and a stand against the ungodliness of the world. Satan subtly planted his workers in the large Bible colleges and universities. And from here, a slow stream of college-trained preachers that were not Spirit-filled and God-called begin to come forth and begin to take the pulpits of America in Southern Baptist and American Baptist and Northern Baptist churches and begin to fill the pulpits and preach without zeal and preach without burden and preach without conviction. And my friend, a liberal move and begin in our nation. Amen. I'm glad God is not dead. May I point out to you that during that same time period, after World War II, and this liberal movement began to take a hold of Baptist movements in America, that doors began to close. Communism grew to its powerful height quickly, and doors begin to close, and doors begin to close, and nations closed their door to the gospel, and nation closed their doors to missionaries, and nation closed their doors to the witness of the Word of God, and nations begin to close their doors and ban the Word of God and ban preaching. I'm saying to you, God said, you better hold fast.
Amen.
What you have. Slowly, sadly, Satan used the large growth that had taken place among the Baptists, the strong and large financial associations that were built with the universities and colleges to actually start corrupting the Word of God in the mind of those who are listening. In the Bible college, they begin to deny the very inerrant Word of God and deny the miracles and deny the works of God. And out of those works came more liberals and more liberals and more liberals until many of the Bible-believing Baptists said, we can't swallow this anymore. Amen. By 1950, what we know of as today, the independent Baptist movement, was already on the rails of God's train track, amen, and moving, and the steam was beginning to build, and the smoke was beginning to come out of the pipe of the engine, and they began a movement, amen. And hey, when it looked like all was but lost, there started a moving again, and she started trembling and shaking, amen. And once more, God shook the world, amen. In storefront buildings and garages and living rooms and little places, amen, God's men raised up and said, we're not going to leave the old time way. We're not going to leave the old time preaching. We're not going to leave the old time book. We're not going to leave her. We're going to stay with it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, amen. And God raised a giant, a work that's unbelievable in such a short period of time. From the 1950s into the 1960s and the 1970s, literally thousands and thousands of independent Baptist churches sprang up. How much? No county in America, in the least east of the Mississippi, was unaffected, amen. Every state in the United States, east of the Mississippi, was shook by the independent Baptist movement. Hardly a county could be found in the eastern United States without an independent Baptist church. And it wasn't long till 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, and as Brother Dale said earlier, 100 in some of the counties, amen. Thank God from those storefront buildings and those little barns and those little garages, amen. God began to do a mighty work, and God began to raise up a mighty work in the name of Jesus Christ. And preach the old time book, the old time way, under old time anointing of the Holy Ghost. They said the old time way is still alive and well. They mounted the pulpits under the anointing of the Holy Ghost And under that power of preaching, God sent down the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and God moved the nation one more time. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
There become a great exodus out from under the liberal movements, and also from the great evangelistical efforts taking place of those going door to door and house to house, inviting, amen, the Independent Baptist Church of America become one of the greatest mission fields that men has ever read about and ever will be read about. Hundreds were saved, thousands were saved. Those great revivals, amen, it was much like a great awakening. Those great revivals, I preached revivals many years ago. I remember one meeting, we started a meeting in an old building, was falling down, it had cables going through it, anchored into the rock cliff because the building was leaning so out of shape, it was going to fall off the rock, and so they cabled it up to the mountain, amen. We started a meeting in that building, there was no church organized, we started a meeting in that building, at the first Sunday we baptized 56 adults. We were baptizing in a mine pond that where the water had cleared up, and we was down over the hillside, and men would stop their automobiles in the road, jump out, run down the hill, and said, "Oh God, I'm lost, save me, save me," and run out in the water and get saved, baptized in the same 30, 40, 50 seconds. An Independent Baptist church was organized with 98 people the first Sunday. I'm talking about God was moving in this country. God was moving the great mission fields within the buildings themselves. People came. Folks came out of the liberal works who were not saved, and they came to see the fire. They came to hear the message. They came to see what God was doing, and thousands got saved. Amen. God raised up some of the greatest preachers the world has ever seen. Men with knowledge and zeal and filled with the Holy Ghost. God enabled them with finances. Again, the mission field began to break open. They started Bible colleges, universities, and they started Christian schools. They started mission organizations, and thousands and thousands and thousands, my friend, came out of those works and went across the ocean and went around the world and printed the Bibles in other languages and translated them, and God literally shook this world.
Amen.
Through the Independent Baptist Churches of America. Hallelujah. If we're not careful, we'll miss some of the brightest history our people have ever seen.
Amen.
In the 60s and 70s, and actually on into the early 80s. But I'm going to tell you, in the 60s and 70s, in that little period of time, I'm talking about in a period of 25 or 30 years, it's literally beyond our imagination what God did in such a short period of time. I'm talking about 90% plus of every Independent Baptist work and school and college and university was framed during that time period. To sit down on a piece of paper, on a map, on a graph, and to put together what a mighty work was done in such a short period of time will literally shock you and bring you to an astoundment and say, "My God, what he did through his people in those days." They sprang up everywhere. They sprang up in every place. They filled the gap that was lost by the compromising large conventions. They filled the gaps that had been left. And they said, "We will take the gospel." Amen. Fireball preaching, Holy Ghost filled men, conviction come down from heaven, and souls were brought into the kingdom of God. And it brought about a time in American history that very few people have took time to study, but it shook the world, friend. It shook the world. And what they did is still living on today. Praise his name. From this group that said, "We'll not bow, we'll not bend, we'll not give in, we'll not fall down before the liberal movements of our land," they stayed faithful, and God once again said, "I'll bless you for it." And he did, my friend, he did. Praise be unto God. But again, Satan attacked. Satan couldn't take it lightly. He watched this magnitude of growth. He watched this mighty movement of God. He watched buildings going up, churches starting, colleges beginning, universities. I'm talking about there was colleges and universities started. There was schools that was built. There was works that was put together. And in short few years were thriving and busting out at the seams. Churches started with buildings that could hold 100, and within 1 year, 2 years, had to stretch the ends out of the buildings. God moved a mighty work across this nation. Oh, my. Some people say they like to see the revival, and they go back 300-400 years. They go back to the Great Awakening, or they go back to the moving of God in Europe. I'm going to tell you, God moved in America. I'm going to tell you, God moved in America. I'm telling you, God moved in America. I'm telling you, God moved in your lifetime for the most part. Amen. But Satan was not pleased. He began to cast dividing lines. Doctrines. The doctrine of repentance was battled and fought. The Lordship of Christ was cast aside. It was replaced by shallow evangelism, easy believism, Hollywood church growth. Men become interested in building empires for themselves. We had broke away from the mighty conventions, but men begin to build their own conventions and their own power and their own struggles with their own self instead of fighting the battles for Jesus. Instead of having to battle the things coming out of the large convention works, we now found ourselves within a fight within ourselves. Independent Baptist colleges, churches, universities, and mission boards once again become liberal, compromise the truth, begin to deny the King James Bible, fell in the same rut that the Southern Baptists and American Baptists and the Northern Baptists and others had fallen into, and which, my friend, had crippled them. Could they not see? It would cripple them again. Amen. Thank God once again. Thank God once again. Hallelujah. Thank God once again. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. Amen. Oh, I stand at the door and knock, he said. And he said, hey, if anyone will hear my voice and open the door, he said, I'll come in and sup with them and then with me. And there was a band of old-time Christians said, we'll open the door. Amen. But the conflict was great. It pulled the fire out of many preachers. It put many before the fiery test. Once again, it was not now striving to save their life, but maybe to strive to save their credibility in the community or the credibility with other churches and organizations, or to stand up and be accepted in large groups and people in whom they had once been among before. And men begin to say, could they pay the cost? Could they pay the cost? Could they pay the cost? And my friend, hey, we're being tried today. We'd seen the battles fought. We saw the warnings in the first verses of chapter 2 of Revelation. We saw the warnings to the church of Smyrna. We saw the warnings to Phrygia and all the others. And I don't have time to go through each one. But we come down to the Laodicean age. And the Lord said, I've got a final warning. He said, the warning is this. You'll come to a place in which you'll say, we're rich. We're increased with goods. And we have need of nothing. Hey, we're no longer in storefront buildings. We're no longer in little garages. We're no longer in little chicken houses and barns. We're no longer meeting in the little living rooms of pastors' homes, which was just meagerly able to make it, amen. We're now rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And if we're not careful, we'll be crippled once again. The battle today is not with men as much as it is with things.
Amen. That's right.
And God warns, love not the things.
Love not this world, neither the things. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm saying to you, there was a great message sent out. We're not in the open door church. Now some say there's some Philadelphians still living. That's fine. I'm not going to debate that. But I'll tell you, this world's not got an open door. If it's got an open door, get you a ticket and fly to Russia and start preaching. Get you a ticket and fly to Beijing and start preaching. That's what our forefathers did. They didn't even raise support. They didn't even know what it was to do deputization. They just went. And every door was open in the world to them. We're not there today, friend. But I'll tell you where we are. We're where there's a God. That keeps on knocking. And he's going to knock. He's going to knock. He's going to knock. Glory to God, he's going to knock. He's going to knock until he comes and gets us out of here, amen. I'm saying to you and I, when we're in our despair, we better quieten down and listen. There's a knock at the door, amen.
Amen.
And it's Jesus.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 3. How about wore me out tonight? Not you, but me. Revelation chapter 3. I tell you, I'm excited. Woo, I'm excited. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. What you knocking about, Lord? He said, I got a little message for you. Verse number 18. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Thou mayest be rich in white raiment. Thou mayest be clothed. The shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eye with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love and rebuke, he says, I chasten, amen. I'm glad, thank God, we serve a Lord that's not going to fail us. You see, the message is clear. Number one, he said, I counsel. We're going to have to listen. He's got something to say.
Amen.
Jesus still has something to say.
Amen.
The church better listen the day we're living in today. They better listen for the small, still voice. They better listen for the direct guidance of God.
Amen.
They better listen for him to say, this is the way. Walk therein.
Amen.
We better listen, amen.
Yeah.
Until you see the need, you'll probably not listen. But unless you'll stand still, you'll probably not listen. And then he said, not only there was the counsel, but there was the cost. I don't think it's by error that the Lord said this concerning the cost. He said, buy of me gold tried in the fire. He didn't say, buy of me silver. He didn't say, buy of me land. He said, buy of me gold. Gold today is one of the most expensive elements that we can find. There's a cost to being a Christian in this day. There's a cost of being a Christian in this day. He didn't say just buy me gold. He said buy me pure gold. Gold that's been tested and tried in the fire. That's real, amen. I'm saying to you today, we're like our forefathers in many ways. Number one, God's guiding us. Number two, he's got the gold, amen. And he says, if you'll just turn to me, you can buy gold that's tried in the fire. I'm saying he's offering us something, amen, hallelujah, that the world cannot have, amen. There's a cost. Buy of me. Buy of me. You'll have to pay for this. You'll have to pay for this. You'll have to pay for this. If you get it. There's the counsel, the cost, but then there's the clothing, the covering, the cleanness.
Yes.
He said, you've got to put on something that's white. You've got to change your garments.
Yes. Amen.
He said, redress. And then he said, there's a condition. You've got to have your eyes anointed.
Yes.
We're going to need the Holy Ghost as much or more than our forefathers.
Amen.
As they walked the persecuting roads, as they walk the difficult highways, as they trot up and down the soil of the world and were hated and despised and rejected of men, may I say to you, we're going to need the Holy Ghost just like they did.
Yes, sir.
And unless our eyes are anointed, we're not going to be able to see.
Exactly.
And I tell you, there's a lot of believers today that really got saved, but their eyes are not anointed today. And they can't see the need. They can't see the trouble. And they can't see where they're at. Amen. You and I need the anointing of God. It doesn't mean just the preacher needs it. It means every one of these pews needs it. Hey, that young lady needs the anointing of God. You need the anointing of God. Everyone in this building, you young lady, need the anointing of God. You need the anointing of God. These young children need the anointing of God. That young man and that young lady need the anointing of God. This boy needs to be anointed of God. You need to be anointed of God. I'm not talking about a second work of grace. I'm talking about a humble heart and a humble spirit and say, oh God, I want to buy the gold. I want the very best. I want the pure stuff you got, amen. And I'm willing to pay the cost. I'll pay for it. Are you listening to me? And then there's the correction. There's going to be chastisement. We're going to go through difficulties. And some of you are already going through them. And we're going to be like those in other places, like Psalm 73. We're going to see the wicked prosper. We're going to see those who don't stand for the gospel go on and seemingly have everything they need. We're going to see folks not struggling and not standing. And we're going to wonder, oh God, how can it be? But God said, those whom I love, I rebuke and chasten, amen. We're going to need that correcting hand in this day we're living in. We're going to need it, friend, because Satan's going to bombard our minds with thoughts. Satan's going to bombard our minds with imaginations. I believe we're living in the greatest age that Satan has ever used to bombard the imagination of the mind of men and women. I'm not talking about perverts. I'm talking about godly men and women. I'm talking about godly teenagers. I'm talking about godly husbands and wives. And they're going to have to guard themselves and say, oh God, deal with me until my conscience is very keen. And I don't become insensitive to what's going on in this world. I don't remember if it's here or somewhere else I preached lately. I may have mentioned earlier in the week about having your ankle sprained and putting in that hot water. Was that here? You ever had that sprained ankle and they say you got to soak it in hot water? And they pour that pot of hot water and you, whoa! Lord have mercy, God, that would cook a chicken. Ha! I believe I can stand it just a little hotter. Pour some more in. If we're not careful, we're going to be burned and calloused to where we won't even know we're falling and sinking. But we're going to need the sweet knock of God and the work of the Holy Ghost anointing our eyes constantly and the chastening hand of God. And we're going to need it every day. And we're going to need it constantly. And we're going to need it all the time. And we're going to be willing at every moment to open the door when he knocks and say, Lord, oh Lord, come in and sup with me and me with you. Amen. The challenge is open the door. Open the door. Lord, I'm weak. I'm weary. I'm wore down. I'm wore down. I'm tired. He said, just get to the door, child, and turn the knob. Lord, I don't know if I can go another day. He said, just get to the door. Just get to the door. If you can just get to the door, amen. If you can just get to the door. If you'll just open the door, I will come in, amen. You say, preacher, I need God to do something for me. Open the door. Just open the door. Amen.
We've almost made it something impossible. We've almost made it something above where nobody can reach it. We've almost made it where teenagers can't find it. We've almost made it where young couples can't get to it. But that's not what he said. He said, just open that door. If you just open that door, he said, I will come in. Oh, but God, I feel blind. I feel naked. I feel worthless. I'm nobody. He said, just open the door. Just open the door. Just get the door open. Just get the door open.
Yep.
In the Philadelphian church, God opened the door. Brother Laodicea in church, he said, you open the door. In the Philadelphian church, he opened the door and said, you go through it. But he said in the Laodicean church, he said, I open the door, you go through it. But he said, if you open the door now, I'll go through it. Wow! Hey, you ought to have a running fit on that, friend. He told the church age something that they never, no one ever heard him before. He said, just turn the knob, young'un. He said, turn the knob. And he said, I'll come through her. Wow! We've chained it with chains. We've put combination locks on it and gave nobody the code. We've done everything in Baptist churches, but I'm telling you, God said, I'm not talking about what I said. I'm saying Jesus said, just get to that door and open that door. And he said, I will come in. He said, open her and I'll come in and I will sup with you. You said, I'm not worthy. I can't do it. I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. I can't make it. I can't be a mommy. I can't be a daddy. I can't do what I need to do. Jesus said, just get to the door. Just get to the door. And get the door open. And he said, I'll come in. And I will sup with you. And you with me. We're living in a rough world, but I'm going to tell you something. We're serving a God that says, I want to sit down at your table. All down to the ages, men strive to sit down at his table. But now he said, I'm striving to sit down at your table.
Amen.
He knows the age. He knows the hour. He knows the opposition. He knows. He knows. He knows. We can throw every rock we want to at the Laodicean church. But I tell you what Jesus said. He said, I want to sit down with you. He said, I want to sit down at your table. He wants to come to our house and sit at our table. He wants to come to y'all's house. And all you got in people at the table, there's room for one more, amen. Son, if you buy that house and you go over there and stay by yourself in the dark, Jesus is going to come. I wish I had enough energy to preach on. God never wrote us a book of despair. God never wrote us a book of despair. Oh, Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Folks have tried to preach a Laodicean church, won't even saved. I said, I tell you what, you're going to have a hard time proving that doctrine, amen. He said he loved them. He said he chastened them. He said he offered them pure gold. He said he wanted to sit down with them, amen. And he said he's standing there all the time ready, knocking, knocking. He didn't say, behold, I'm going to come someday and knock. He didn't say, I'm coming someday to knock. He said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Lord, what I need to do? He said, just open the door. Just open the door. Say, preacher, I'd like to live a victorious Christian life. I'm soaking, wringing wet, and I'm wore out. I'd like to live a victorious Christian life. I'd like to be a victorious Christian daddy. I'd like to be a victorious Christian mommy. I want to be a victorious Christian young man or young woman or a young lady, young adult, young family. Get the door open. I'll tell you what will happen. He will come in. He will come in. He will come in. And he'll keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming.
Amen.
And one day he'll come the last time.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. He'll come the last time. And you'll say, I've had a good time eating at your house, but I've built you a little place. While I've been coming, I've been working on a little place for you.
Amen.
And he said, I got her fixed. And he said, I'm just going to take you home now and let you see it. And the Lord himself, he's going to descend from heaven with a shout. And the voice of the archangel and the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Our forefathers went down some tough roads. God highly rewarded them. But he said to this last church, he said, I got a crown for you. He said, I got a crown for you. You remember, the first will be last, the last will be first. To this Laodicean church, he said, y'all gonna sit with me on my throne. He said, you've overcome. You open the door. You overcome. Hey, someday, some night about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, he'll come knocking on your door. And he'll say, what's your name? Tell me your name. Anna? He's going to say, Anna, would you get up and talk with me just a little bit? You do it. You get up and talk with him. Because one day he's going to say, Anna, would you sit down here with me on my throne? Would you come over here and sit down with me on my throne? Would you come over here and sit down with me where I am? Because you overcome. You opened the door. You overcome. You didn't give in. You didn't give over. You didn't give up. He said, I got a real particular place for you.
Amen.
I want you to just sit right close to me.
Amen.
We'll sing, it was worth it all now that I have seen Jesus.
Yes. Woo!
I want you to know tonight the last page of history is just as good as the first.
Oh, yes, sir.
It's just as great.
Amen.
The last chapter is just as good as the first.
Hallelujah.
This book don't get tired, wore out, defeated, or it don't ever get deleted. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And what's in store for us, what's in store for us is beyond my comprehension. I wish I could just preach a little while to you, amen. But I'm wore out. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. He said, I've kept the faith. He said, therefore, what you got waiting on you, Paul? He said, I got a crown. But he said, not just for me only. Oh. Do you love his appearing? You look forward to his coming. He said, this crowd today got something to look forward to. We've been beat down, battered, belligerent with so much foolishness that we're almost discouraged to serve God. Hey, shout the victory. Shout the victory. I got three members here today. You ask them. I tell them at our church, hey, it ain't time to quit. It ain't time to give up. It ain't time to cower down.
No.
It's time to roll up our sleeves and shout her out.
Amen. Amen.
We already know who's a winner.
Right.
And we got great things waiting on us.